Jesus is the reason for the season is pithy, but doesn't tell us why. Why is Jesus the reason for the season? Why does it matter? Do we just celebrate a cool story about a baby born in Bethlehem? It's more than that. Do we just celebrate the amazing truth that God came to earth incarnate, came in human form? We celebrate more than that. We celebrate, in the words of Charles Spurgeon, the infinite became an infant. And the infant Jesus did what Adam failed to do, live a perfectly obedient life and give us the credit for it, in order to reverse the curse handed to Adam and give us the blessings God desires for us. And so we're talking about the Christmas covenant this Advent season. Covenant is one of those great words that's used throughout Scripture, and my favorite definition comes from the Children's Catechism, that a covenant is a relationship that God establishes with us and guarantees by his word. God established a relationship with us in the form of a covenant. Just like in marriage, a covenant relationship is formed between husband and wife. The first covenant is called the covenant of works or the covenant of life, and it was made with Adam, who represented the whole human race. Like, we have representatives in government. We have representatives be in our school and work in our family. Your parents may send a letter and sign it on behalf of the whole family. Well, God and Adam signed a contract, a covenant, but Adam broke the terms of that contract by sinning against God, disobeying God. And this violation deserved death. But rather than condemning the whole human race to eternal death, God established a new covenant called the covenant of grace. This time it was signed by God and by Jesus, representing all Christians. Jesus lived the perfect life that Adam and the rest of us failed to live. By his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection, Jesus fulfills the covenant of works and the covenant of grace, and we are the ones who benefit. Now, that's a lot to try and understand, isn't it? Well, that's why God has revealed the covenant reality throughout the Old Testament so that it can make sense a little bit at a time. So last week, we looked at those covenant beginnings in Genesis 1 through 3, the covenant of works made and violated by Adam. And we might want to say it seems unfair that we get punished because of what Adam did. However, we also looked at the covenant of grace made and kept with Jesus. And we realize, I suppose, that it's also not fair that we get the credit for what Jesus did. We are declared perfectly righteous in God's sight, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas, because the Christmas covenant, the fulfilling of the covenants of work and grace, changes everything. This morning, we're going to look at the second revealing of the covenant of grace in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, four chapters on Noah and the ark and the covenant renewed following the flood and pointing to Christmas. Again, for our children, we don't have a bingo sheet, but I want you to have a Bible open. So parents, if you can have that ready and point along to the way to key scriptures that we might see these things together. Before we read the word, let's go before the author in prayer. Our Lord God, we know that you are the God of revelation, that you want to be known, and so you have given us lots of revelation. You've spoken to us in bulk so that we might know you and to know your will for our lives and the way in which you carried that out so that we might know how to live for you. And so we would pray that your Spirit would come now and bear witness to the reading and preaching of your word. And so it is that we pray for the preacher, knowing that he is not worthy, but by your grace, he is able. And so it is through Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Again, this morning, the second of the interlinked covenants in Genesis 6 through 9, and we don't have time to read all of those chapters. So like last week, we're going to look at select verses to see, first of all, the need for covenant renewal so that we may celebrate Christmas covenant renewal. Perhaps one of the scariest verses in all of Scripture is Genesis 6:5. Go to Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Think about that for a moment. Every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. We may look at the world today and see evil rear its ugly head here and there. Paris, San Bernardino. But we also see redemptive good all over the place. There are terrorist attacks happening, but there are good works and acts of kindness that are even more widespread. Our world is far from perfect, but we are also far from the state of the world as it existed in Genesis 6:5, where everyone was only evil all the time. The response of God in 6:6 is quite understandable. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Understandable, and quite the understatement, right? And yet Stoic Presbyterians should read that verse again and see that the Lord was grieved, his heart filled with pain. God is not a Vulcan without emotion, and neither should God's people be. We should grieve. We should have hearts filled with pain when we see evil and injustice. But then notice the good news that's already in verse 8 of chapter 6. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Not because of Noah, but because of the Lord. Noah found favor because the Lord determined as such. And then look at verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah was not perfect, but blameless among the people of his time. Now, since the people of his time were only evil all the time, I guess the standard was pretty low. The New Testament says that elders and deacons are to be blameless or above reproach. Again, not perfect, but to stand out among the people. And then we go to Genesis 6:10 that begins to tell us about what's going to happen moving forward. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Japheth becomes the father of the Japhethites, who we don't hear much about in the rest of Scripture. But Ham becomes the father of the Hamites, or the Canaanites, who are the pagan nations throughout much of the Old Testament. And then Shem becomes the father of the Shemites, or Semites, and that is the nation of Israel to come. So then we move down to verse 18 of chapter 6 and see this. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. By the way, it's said of Noah singularly that he was righteous. Not his family, but Noah singularly. And yet because of Noah's singular righteousness, the rest of his family comes on the ark with him. And then the word that's translated establish is a strengthened form of the basic word that means to stand or to rise. And so the meaning is that it's to cause to stand or cause to rise. It's something that already exists but has fallen, so to speak. And so the Lord is causing the covenant to be risen back up. It's not starting a covenant, but the renewal of the covenant. In fact, when a new covenant is made, the word that's used is not establish, but cut. To cut a covenant. Covenants were cut into stone, a contract carved in stone. And so the initial cutting of the covenant of grace happened back in Genesis 3:15, where the Lord tells the serpent that an offspring of woman, a son of man, would crush the head of the serpent. So the covenant of grace established by God the Father and God the Son was cut, carved, created, but is now being renewed with Noah. And we can see why. The world has grown evil. It had become a place of complete wickedness. And the Lord declared that because of this wickedness, he would flood the earth. But this doesn't mean that the Lord had failed. The Lord did not fail in keeping his covenant. Remember that what we have so far is a covenant that has been made, which says that the Son of Man, the Son of God, will do all that is required to fulfill the covenant of works violated by Adam. The Son of Man, though, has not yet done that in the time of Noah. The Messiah had not yet come. The Savior had not yet saved. Everyone was living on a promise yet to be fulfilled. And so what we see is that without a Savior, without the promise of God, without the covenant of grace fulfilled, mankind would naturally fall into complete wickedness. The renewal of the covenant is a reminder that God has not given up on mankind, and that God would never give up on mankind, even if it may look like it. Even though God is flooding the earth, it is still his intention, still his promise, still his covenant to save mankind through the Son of Man who will fulfill the conditions of the covenant. And so in order to keep moving forward, the Lord is going to cleanse the earth through floodwaters while maintaining creation with the family of Noah and the animal kingdom. And the flood, of course, radically changed creation. Evidence of the flood is everywhere geologically. It's really interesting to study geological theories about Pangaea, the continental drift, and plate tectonics that show how the earth was once one landmass but divided into the various continents around the globe. If you look at the continents, you can see how they all fit together as puzzle pieces into one land. And of course, there's still shifting of tectonic plates that cause earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. And so Christians don't need to be afraid of science. We simply demand that all the evidence, including the biblical evidence of a worldwide flood, be considered in scientific theory. So God maintained creation, but also changed it as a result of the flood. And the seven continents that we now have, how about that? Seven continents are the fullness of the land, but separated now by bodies of water. All of mankind still descended from Adam and Eve. We're all related. Everybody on the planet is related. But we're separated into different nations, tribes, and tongues. And yet in this, we see already a foreshadowing of God's desire to bring all the people back together eventually. And yet there is still one God, one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. That's why there's flood narratives in all the cultures, because no one denies that a flood happened. The question is how it happened and why it happened, and only the Bible answers those questions. The how is recorded with some detail and makes for interesting movies. The why is sometimes recorded and ignored or changed by movies and other storytellers. I still have not yet seen the Russell Crowe version of Noah, but from what I saw, the previews, and what I read, I think Evan Almighty might have been closer to reality. The reason for the flood was to cleanse the earth and to foreshadow the cleansing that would be done in the full redemption to come through Jesus Christ. So go to Genesis 8 and see that Genesis 8 begins with these words. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Now that he remembered doesn't mean that somehow God had forgotten or gotten preoccupied with something else and suddenly went, oh yeah, Noah and an ark, I forgot all about you, I'll be right there. Remembered is not a memory word in Scripture, it's a covenant word. In the Lord's Supper, we eat and drink in remembrance of Christ. The Lord chooses to remember our sins no more. The Lord's covenant promises are remembered. Renewed. Remember that the original covenant of works, sometimes called the cultural mandate or creation mandate, back in Genesis 1:28, are the first words that God spoke to humanity, saying, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. When the flood is ended and the earth is completely dry, notice what God says to Noah, in Genesis 8:15. Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, birds, animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. We have a renewed creation and a renewed creation mandate. In fact, go to chapter 9 and the very first verse that repeats it. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And then go down to verse 7 of chapter 9 and see it again. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. And so having stated it, restated it, and restated again the creation mandate, the covenant requirements, God says to Noah and his sons in verse 9, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that come out of the ark with you, every living creature. And notice that God's covenant promises extend beyond just humanity and now extend to all of creation, the animal kingdom as well. Verse 11 repeats, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And so in all of this, we see the need for covenant renewal. And because Jesus has come, we now celebrate Christmas covenant renewal. This time of year, we remember as a covenant remembrance that the Messiah, the Christ child, the Son of Man, the Savior, Son of God, has come to fulfill the covenant obligations. The manger of the Christ child reminds us of God's promise all the way back in Genesis 3:15, and is now repeated here in Genesis 9. We live on this side of the covenant fulfilled. We are now enjoying the recreating work that God is doing, not with the flood and a destruction of life, rather with the Holy Spirit and the bringing of life. The redeeming work of the Lord is to take what was dead and raise it to life, to take what was evil and to transform it into goodness. We who were dead in our transgressions are raised to life by the unconditional grace of God. Notice that this truth of Jesus in the manger is foreshadowed by the covenant sign of the rainbow. In Genesis 9, beginning at verse 12. This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Now, there are some that have suggested that before this time there was no such thing as a rainbow, which is just silly and makes Christians sound stupid when they say that. Of course there were rainbows. God didn't create a new sign. He simply took that which already existed and attached covenant significance to it. In a few moments, we're going to eat bread and drink the cup. These things existed long before Jesus attached covenant significance to it. And so we will set apart this bread and this cup from its common purpose so that we may receive it by faith as signs and seals of the covenant of grace. Now, last Sunday, from Genesis 1 through 3, we heard the call to celebrate the Christmas covenant in two ways. First, by being image bearers, reflecting God in every area of life as we were created to do and recreated to do as new creations of Christ. And then second, by fulfilling the cultural mandate to rule and subdue, to keep and to care, to grow something, to sing something, to create something, to do our job well, to love our spouse and children well. And now in Genesis 6 through 9, we can hear the call for celebrating Christmas covenant renewal. It's the time of year that we know about renewal, right? It's the time of the year that you renew maybe a magazine subscription, hard copy or online. Probably also around this time of year, we need to renew our antivirus subscription. Sometimes we also have to renew a lease, perhaps on a car or an apartment. God renewed the covenant of grace with Noah after the flood. with the covenant sign of the rainbow, pointing forward to today's covenant renewal with us, with the covenant signs of the bread and the cup. We celebrate Christmas covenant renewal every Sunday when we come together for a worship service that's always covenant renewal. We gather to remember and be reminded of God's covenant promises, that he forgives us our sins and recreates us to go out and do good works. And so rather than flooding the earth to cleanse it, God has sent Jesus in a manger to cleanse the earth. Celebrate Christmas covenant renewal this morning by coming to the table to receive Christ and all his benefits, cleansing you and feeding your soul. And then go out celebrating Christmas covenant renewal by being instruments in the Redeemer's hands to do a cleansing work in the world. For having been renewed by Jesus Christ, we go and do a renewing, a redeeming work in all the earth. Not only do we create and cultivate, but we renew and redeem. Is there something broken? Repair it. Is there something fallen? Reform it. Is there a debt? Repay it. Bring order where there's chaos, peace where there's conflict, heal the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, promote flourishing, especially where it is not happening. Wherever, over all the earth, we see something needing life, we bring it in the name of Jesus Christ. The pastor and author, Paul Tripp, writes Advent devotions every year. Guess what scripture passage was the basis for his devotion this past week? Genesis 6:5. In a broken world where people were only evil all the time. And from this, Tripp encourages us not to believe two common lies. First, the lie, I'm one of the good guys, thinking that we're somehow better naturally than everyone else. Any purity that we have is a result of God's grace and certainly not the natural condition of our heart. Then the second common lie is that behavioral reform will clean up the mess, thinking that we just need a harsher justice system, a new election to replace corrupt politicians. The law does not transform people. We need transformed hearts cleansed by God. And so we celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ to fix what is broken, the human heart. We wrestle with the presence of sin, but we don't need a flood of judgment. Rather, we need a manger of grace. The covenant of works was a conditional covenant. If you obey, then you'll have life. If you disobey, then you will face death. The covenant of grace is an unconditional covenant because Christ fulfills the conditions. We are saved unconditionally by God's grace. Notice that there's no if-then in the covenant with Noah. God simply promises that he will never flood the earth again. And so it is that we receive God's covenant promises simply declared to us as true. And true by God's saving grace to those who have received Christ as Lord and Savior. But God's covenant of grace also means a common grace for all of creation. Saving grace is given to the elect, but common grace is given to all the world. By it, God provides good things for believers and unbelievers. Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And by common grace, God prevents people from being as bad as we could be. We still have the potential to be only evil all the time by nature, but God prevents that from being the case for believers and unbelievers alike. And so let us celebrate Christmas covenant renewal by encouraging all people to do good things in every area of life. Let's celebrate that God is doing all kinds of good things in the world through believers and unbelievers. And let's celebrate the promise made with the rainbow and the promise that has been fulfilled with the manger. Let's celebrate that the truth has indeed set us free. Amen.